I'm the dopest of the dopest. Hater, I know you know this. I'm still the precious and mine is still the coldest. Don't you lose focus. The paper is still the gold. Now for $1 million will I sell my soul. Back against the wall, but I'm in love with the pressure.
3, 2, 1, and we're live. 3&D, Signs in Sports Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to 3D, the 3D Double FL. This is season number 4, and this is the week 2 matchup results for, you know, for week number 2 of the Fantasy Football League. To be honest, I haven't even opened up the app. This is the first time I'm opening it up since I basically saw that I was almost certainly going to lose in week number 2. You know, I didn't have a great week this week, but of course we will get into that. Today on the show, we have with us Mike Ortiz. We have Prison Mike Squad. Mike, what's going on? Welcome back to the show. How are you doing, bud?
Back at it again, and ooh, it feels so good to be back on the podcast with you, dear friend. This week was tragic, but we'll get into that. We'll get into that. We'll get into it. And I'm just sad, brother. That's all.
All right. As everybody knows, you know, week 1 was a little bit different of an episode. Week number 2, I promised you guys we would come with a little bit more energy. And of course, we're here with our guest. And, you know, Mike, as always, we enjoy having you on the show and we can't wait to get into it. Guys, make sure to follow us on Facebook at 3&D Signs and Sports Podcast. Make sure to follow me on Facebook as well at Design Individually Gifted. And follow me on Spotify at DIG as well. To hear some good music. If you like music, if you like hip hop, if you like rap music, go ahead and give me a follow there. But today, and on this episode, we will be talking about fantasy football, and we will be talking about the week 2 results. As usual, guys, we are going to talk about the week 2 matchups. We'll talk about the week 3 matchups to come. We are going to talk about the standings as they currently stand, and then we will talk about the power rankings, and then of course we will close it off. Mike, are you ready to go? You got your week 2 matchups pulled up.
I'm ready for this crazy NFL that's been going on this season, and everything is upside down, and the injury demon has been playing us all this season, and it's fucked up, but we'll get into it. Let's do this.
I hope it hasn't hit you. I know it hit. It's always going to be somebody. I am very, very, very sorry that it had to hit you. You know, I'll knock on wood, but it hasn't hit me yet, so hopefully it's just your team, you know?
Oh, man. I'll be the fucking sacrificial lamb and
things like that. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. As we said, we are happy to have you here. It's been a long week. It's been a, you know, it's been a crazy week. I expected to come out of week number 1 and continue to keep on firing, but unfortunately, in our first matchup that we are going to talk about, it is the Signs and Sports Podcast taking on Justin's scary team, Mr. Justin Brooks, with the final result of that matchup, 116.8 to 91.28, top performers for the Signs and Sports Podcast. Justin Herbert with 18.78 points and Tyreek Hill with 16.9. And top performers for the winning team of the week, Justin's scary team, Malik Nabers with a gigantic 37.7 points against the Dallas Cowboys. What a game for Malik Nabers. What a game for the Cowboys. What a game for the New York Giants. And of course, Mr. Baker Mayfield, potential MVP of the 2025 NFL season, question mark, with 19.9 points on the week. Before we get into the matchup, any thoughts, opinions, or comments on the game between the New York Giants and the Dallas Cowboys, Mike?
Well, I knew you were going to ask me about this, and I was just bracing myself because I wonder when the fuck is he going to sit there and say any comment. Let me tell you this, man. I watched the entire thing, and I said to myself while we were kicking your ass throughout the whole game, basically, I said to myself, because I'm looking at my fantasy Because I can't watch the Giants and my fantasy football teams. I can't do it. So I separated. And so when I'm losing fantasy football, I'll watch the Giants. And when I'm if the Giants are losing and my fantasy football team is winning, I'm watching every other game. So I said to myself, I'm gonna lose this week. I know it. So I'm gonna watch the Giants. And lo and behold, I'm sitting on my couch and I'm like, yes, yes, Russell Wilson of old, Seahawks of old with beast mode in the back. Well, we did it. Look at Malik Nabers. That's a stud. Kevin Kloss. You should have picked him up, but you didn't, did you? But that's okay. Hey, that's okay. I'm over here about to do this. And then, lo and behold, my tenure as a Giants fan kicked in. Because what they did and what happened and that defense that just let you guys score really easily, by the way, with little to no fucking resistance, therein lies the true essence to be a Giants fan. Because I sat there and said to myself, yup, this makes sense. This makes sense. We lost. And by the way, pay your kicker. Okay? Pay him. Don't let him go.
Without a doubt.
Don't let him go. He's automatic. It was a park breaker. And but it's a usual heartbreaker. It's like you're in a relationship with a chick who's like, you know, she sits there and she'll sit there and tell you, I'm not cheating on you, babe, but you'll see, like, you know, she's texting her friend Mary, but really it's some dude named Jake, you know, but you know, and you know it, and you know that she's doing it, and you know that she's cheating on you. And all your friends are like, dude, she's cheating on you, a.k.a., dude, don't be a Giants fan. But you know, and you deal with it because you love her. You love her, and sometimes she'll do something nice for you, like win a game. So, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm ranting now. But yes, I saw the game. If you're asking me if I saw the game, yes, dude, I saw the game.
When did Pizza Hut start sending text messages is what I want to know.
That's another story, but let's just, you know, the first of all, I'll tell you what, man, this was a crazy loss for you, and going into some plays, I know you know, Derrick Henry, wow.
Yep.
2.3 points, bro.
Yep. Nothing new, you know, it's Derrick Henry, surprisingly, the game that he gave us in week number one, that was more of a surprise than him giving me 2.3 points in week number two, if you can at all believe that. But 2.3 points from my running back one, 5.8 from my running back two, Breece Hall. You know, that's hard to overcome. Either of those guys or both of those guys have even an average game. And, you know, we might be looking at a different story here. We might have come out of this game 2-0 rather than 1-1. But, you know, key performances from Justin Herbert with 18.78 and Tyreek Hill with 16.9. Justin Scary Team with 20 points from Baker Mayfield, 215 yards and 2 touchdowns. And, of course, Malik Nabers with 9 receptions, 167 yards, and 2 touchdowns with a gigantic, gigantic game. Arguably the reason, outside of my two running backs completely flopping, but, you know, ran away with the game and is the reason that Justin, you know, won. Shout out to Malik Nabers. Great first round pick, by the way.
Great first round pick, absolutely. And honestly, and how many times, and this is a lesser known, but this kid's getting a lot of look his way. Ibuka, we talked about him a lot in the offseason. You were a big fan of him. I'll tell you, there's a lot of things that are happening in the NFL, man. There's weird juju. Okay, it's about to be week three, and Christian McCaffrey is still healthy. What the fuck is happening in the world? I don't understand this, and let's see what happens, man. Although, man, listen, both sides did well, but Justin, he took the win.
And that's the way the cookie crumbles when it comes to fantasy football. One week you might have 30 points from your running back number one. The next week you'll have 2 points. And, you know, Emeka Ibuka, what a great rookie receiver, rookie year going 2 weeks into the NFL season. And, you know, he's doing what I think we all thought that he would do. Matchup number two that we are going to talk about is Mr. Kevin Kloss, Bo Nix sucks, falling once again to run CMC, Michael McMahon, 89.62 to 76.74. Not the biggest discrepancy in, you know, scoring, but 13 points nonetheless will get you that win. Kevin Kloss falling to 0-2, Michael McMahon running up to 1-1. Top performances from Bo Nix sucks. Mr. Bo Nix with 20.24 points. And Saquon Barkley with 17.4. And top performers for Run CMC, Christian McCaffrey with 22.7. And Javonte Williams with 18.8 points. Opening up that matchup, Bo Nix had 206 yards with 3 touchdowns and an interception. He also had 20 yards rushing and an interception thrown, minus 2 points, as everybody knows. And, of course, Saquon Barkley with 88 yards and a touchdown to go along with 6 yards receiving and 2 catches. So doing it all on the ground and doing it with a touchdown on the ground as well. A big zero in the tight end column for Kevin Kloss. That's a difficult one to swallow right there from, who is this, Colston Loveland, the Chicago Bears rookie tight end. Never easy, but also having 1.6 in the flex from Cortland Sutton as well. So, you know, that's those two players. Again, if you have even an average game from both of them, we could be looking at a different outcome in this week two matchup. Run CMC with a 2.8 point performance from JJ McCarthy in the quarterback slot and a 2.3 from his running back number two. Not the greatest turnout from his lineup as well, but you know, 22 points from Christian McCaffrey and 18.8 points from Jameson Williams in the flex spot. You know, sometimes that's as easy as it is right there, getting 40 points from two players and all of a sudden you're, you know, easily coasting to victory over somebody who might have a goose egg in their lineup.
Yeah, and honestly, listen, and you know, me and Kevin, we go back and forth. We'll sit there, you know, break each other's balls, and it's fun. If you look at this team on paper, his team, it's pretty fucking stacked. It's like AJ Brown, Ladd McConkey, Cortland Sutton, Bo Nix, Saquon Barkley. These are all guys that if you look at us on the same team, when you're on looking at the draft board, that's a fucking pretty stacked team, you would think, right? I mean, let's be real. It's a good team. But you got A.J. Brown, who you're taking end of the first, beginning into the second. You know what I mean? Like, what the hell? 7.7. Philadelphia, I think they know they have this thing. You know, they have Jalen Hurts who can sit here and take it and run it if he needs to. Saquon Barkley. The passing game is just not there. But to sit here and have your stud of a receiver with only freaking 27 yards. By the way, with 5 catches, which I find crazy in itself. Kevin, he's doing all he can. He can only go by the star power that he has on his team. And to get nothing out of your tight end, which, by the way, Roma Dunze is sitting on his bench with 31 points.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like, that's just a heartbreaker in itself. But how can you justify starting Roma Dunze over Cortland Sutton, who gives you 1 reception for 6 yards? You can't do it. You can't play. It's all Monday morning quarterback, which is, you know, crazy by itself. And by the way, you know, Run CMC, he squeaked by with this matchup. But I mean, you know, Aaron Jones, who just went on the IR. 23 yards, 23 points. That's in itself is It's unfortunate. You know, J.J. McCarthy was supposed to be out for a while. So this whole season has been riddled with craziness. I have George Kittle on my IR, just sitting there hoping that he comes back fully healthy in a few weeks. Maybe I'll get my starting tight end back. We'll see. But this whole thing has been a fucking clusterfuck of things that aren't supposed to happen that are happening. And tough loss for Kevin. Michael went away with it, and he's sitting at 1-1. Hopefully Kevin will be able to do some things and trade with me, to which I will have the advantage, and he'll get some wins on his column. I don't know.
Let's go. Fair trades only. Hashtag fair trades only. Week number three.
You'd want that, by the way.
Oh, here we go. Week number, matchup number three that we got to talk about. Mike Ortiz, sir, Prison Mike squad. This is your matchup. Go ahead and take it away and let us know what happened here.
Yeah, man, my team got decimated. Prison Mike squad, 111 to 147. Terrell Pryor with the win. He is now 2-0, and I am sitting at 1-1. The performances on my bench was Bijan Robinson, of course, with 143 yards for 19 points. Really, that's pretty much it. I mean, Bucky Irving gave me over 18 points, which was awesome, 17 yards. I will say, on the side of Terrence Pryor, Jamar Chase.
Absolutely. Absolute dog.
A monster. A dog, a monster. 14 receptions, 165 yards, and of course a touchdown. With that, it was a great game. Jacksonville almost squeaked it out, but you're not number one overall for no reason, okay? And that's why you're number one overall. Devontae Adams also came in the clutch with 6 yards, 6 receptions, 106 yards, and a touchdown. And a small little shout out to Deebo Samuels with 7 receptions, 44 yards, and a touchdown. Listen, I looked on my bench and there's no one there who could have helped me. I mean, Ramondre Stevenson was on there, somehow gave me 21 points on my bench, but I don't think that still would have gave me the win. This was a tough one for me. Congratulations to Terrence Pryor. You know, he came out with it, but Jamar, that's what you get for getting the number one guy. However, I will say I'm worried about the number one guy because Joe Burrow, we'll get to it when we get to the team that has him, is hurt. So how do you think it will affect him? He doesn't have the same rapport with Jake Browning. So it was a good matchup. I'm hoping to rebound. Congratulations, Terry Pryor. But either way, it is what it is.
We're going to find out if what we have said about Jamar Chase this entire time, similar to CeeDee Lamb, similar to Justin Jefferson, if he is a receiver who, no matter who is throwing the ball to him, is going to succeed and put up numbers. So, as you said, not the same rapport, but what a put together performance by the chosen one, Terrence Pryor, bumping his score, his record up to 2-0 with 13 points from his defense, 12 points from his kicker. 14 points from his quarterback. You could ask for more than that, but I mean 13.9 from his RB1, but that 36.5 points, 14 catches, 165 yards, and a touchdown from Jamar Chase. As you so eloquently put it, that's what happens when you're the number one overall pick. Difficult loss, Mike, but hey, 1-1 is better, a whole lot better than 0-2. So, you could rest your laurels there, and you can come away with that one as a moral victory at the end of the day.
That's fine. I mean, listen, 2-0 sounds amazing. 1-1, but this just goes to show there's things that we have to do. Like this season, brother, it's not as simple anymore. In my opinion, I don't know how you feel about this. But I think fantasy football this season, it's not just, okay, well, just set your lineup. You already know who you're going to play, and let's go from there. You really have to be careful now about matchups and really go in deep and deep dive of who is playing who and who will excel at what position. What team gives up to a tight end? You know, what team is bad with the run? So it's all good to sit here and know who you're gonna fucking start, but I'm over here thinking that I'm gonna have a decent game from Zach Charbonnet, who, by the way, I started over a lot of guys that I wanted to start. I benched Kyle Ridley. I benched Ramondre Stevenson, who I actually thought against that Miami defense because that would be good. I'm only thinking to myself, okay, well, that I might do that. But okay, Zach Charbonnet against that shitty Pittsburgh, because they were split in the backfield, he gave me one fucking point. So, like, you know, it's a risk, it's a gamble, but congratulations, Dan Pryor's 2-0.
And we matchup number three, guys, that we have to talk about, the reigning defending champion Who Wants the Smoke, bringing all the smoke in matchup number three in week number two, 167.28 points to 110.54, taking down Florida Man GP with the just absolutely crushing performance from his lineup with Amon-Ra St. Brown, 39.2 points. Puka Nacua with 27.6. Top performers for Florida Man, 24.4 from Tucker Kraft, of all people, and Kenneth Walker with 18.8. Dylan Turpin, Who Wants to Smoke, moving up to 2-0 and, continuing his winning ways from season number three going into season number four. Well put together lineup. Patrick Mahomes with 22.08, 187 yards, 2 touchdowns. Alvin Kamara with 16 points with 99 yards. Jaylen Warren with 17.4. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 39.2. Puka Nacua, 27.6. Jackson Smith and Jigba, 18.3. His defense with 15.5. And then, okay, your kicker, give me 9 points any day, and I'll take that. Just an absolute performance by Who Wants to Smoke, the reigning defending champion of the 3DFFL from season number three.
It's not an absolute performance, brother. Let me tell you what this is. And I'm going to sit here and I got to give him props. You don't become the fucking champion if you don't know what you're doing. This wasn't just a victory, okay? This was a fucking statement. With 167 points, sitting there saying, bitch, you better fucking come correct or I'm going to destroy you. This team is fucking stacked. And lucky things just have to happen to teams like me and you to sit here and do this. I'm not surprised. I won't be surprised if Dylan Turpin is fucking the champion again for the 3DFFL with this fucking team. And I'm going to be sad. And I'm probably going to sit here and do my investigation again. And I'm probably going to sit here and link him to some sort of organization that that goes in and have NFL players that we have on our team to, like, curse them or something or do some sort of voodoo. I think that's what's happening right now. And that's why Dylan Turpin is a winner. But it's a statement to this league. I am the champion, and the champ is here. John Cena style.
Without an absolute doubt, what a performance. If I'm not mistaken, the highest scoring lineup in the league this week with 167.28 points. Matchup number four, guys, that we have to talk about, we have the main character, Jamal Gray, with 142.24, taking down G-Unit. Of course, Mr. formerly known as the Gus Empire with 93.5 points. Top performers for the main character, we had James Cook with 26.5 points. Dak Prescott with 22.14. CeeDee Lamb with 20.2. And Jalen Waddle with 17.8. And of course, like we talked about, Brandon Aubrey with a huge 23-point game as well in that kicker spot. Before I pass it over to you, top performers for the Gus Empire G Unit, we had Jaden Daniels with 19.7 and Zach Ertz with 18.4 in the tight end spot with 6 catches, 64 yards and a touchdown. Brandon Aubrey, absolute dog, cold-blooded as they come. The Cowboys need to roll out the Brinks truck and pay the man an extension. Could be the best long-range kicker in NFL history, is what some of the announcers were saying during the game. If we're not watching one of the best, we are currently watching the best long-range kicker in NFL history. So good matchup, but unfortunately, there's some teams that just came to play in week number two and, you know, rolled out and did what they had to do.
And honestly, man, listen, we'll see how it goes. But I'll tell you, there's a lot of fucking players in this league, bro. Me and you, brother, we have to sit here and dot the I's across the T's, brother. We got to fucking bring our A game because... If not, shit can get out of control real fucking fast, bro. Real fucking fast. Okay? And Brandon Aubrey, oh my God. Fuck the Cowboys. But come on, you know me, I'm practicing. But like, come on, you know, I give credit where credit's due. Brandon Aubrey, pay him. There's only one name that I can fit that I'm putting him up on, as far as like who is maybe a little bit better than him, only because he's clutch. Head of Vinatieri. Okay? Who was the kicker for the Patriots for that dynasty? Like he was so clutch, and I'm thinking Brandon Aubrey might be better than Adam Vinatieri. It's got to be the case. You know what I mean? You don't do what he did without being one of the best, if not the best, in the league. So, you know, congratulations, main character. You pull it out, Gus. You know, we'll see, brother. Because his team, man, it's also stacked. That duo of Drake London and Justin Jefferson, you got Jaden Daniels as your quarterback, John Connor. Like, this team on paper should be good, but they're not. You know, and these players are not playing, man. Drake London, people are drafting him in the first round. You know what I mean? And you're getting 3 receptions, 49 yards, 5.9 points, man. You know, it's bad that you got Zach Ertz, who really shouldn't be a fantasy-relevant tight end, who's in here getting you your 18 points. But that's just the world we live in. And also the help that, by the way, the Broncos gave you fucking negative 5 points. So it was a dominating statement. Main character came, and he's here to play. Okay? And, you know, that's what it is. People are coming to play this league. I love how it's so serious. And... It's gonna be soon is where people are gonna fall off this league, and it's just gonna be the way it is.
Before we move on to that next matchup, what insane output from that Giants and Cowboys game? Dak Prescott with 22 points, CeeDee Lamb with 20 points, Brandon Aubrey with 23, Wandale Robinson with 28, Javonte Williams with 25. You know, Malik Nabers with 37. I can only imagine what Russell Wilson, you know, put up throwing for a career high 550 yards. You know, what a fantasy football output for just totally and around the board for that Cowboys and Giants football game. It was fun to watch. It was very fun to watch.
It was a good old fashioned shootout, brother. Offense against offense. That's the best person. You know, listen, the best team won. That's just what it is, unfortunately. But to be honest with you, as a Giants fan, brother, I'm just glad we scored over fucking 20 points. you're over here talking about your fucking team because you can put up those fucking points. Me as a Giants fan, I'm so fucking battered. I'm just happy they put up 20 points and kept it fucking competitive. That's what I was happy about. Well, good for them. That's what I'm saying to myself. Hey, they kept it good for them. They kept it close.
They did.
It's sad, but that's just where I am.
They did. You know, as good as it feels to come away with the victory, there is no reason that they should have that game should have been kept as close as it did going into overtime, almost using the entire 10 minutes of overtime.
By the way, you almost lost. So let's see what happens. Okay, because we got to fix you guys again. Let's see what happens.
One thing I will say is coming out of that matchup, Giants and Cowboys, Malik Nabers is an absolute dog. I think he's going to dominate. He's going to dominate that wide receiver position for a long time. I think he's going to be a top five receiver for a long time.
Honestly, and listen, I'm calling it right now, and I know Kevin and Dylan and probably Gus. Everybody's gonna sit there and say, "What the fuck are you talking about, Mike?" Malik Nabers now. We'll carry on the way you're on. I will not be surprised if he finishes better than Ja'Marr Chase because of the quarterback situation in fantasy football. I think he'll be ranked higher than him.
Let's get into matchup number 6. I don't see Joe Burrow on the board for anybody. If anything, he might have been a backup. He might have been on somebody's bench. But we'll, before we get into this matchup, Joe Burrow, how long is he out? He had a turf toe injury. He's out for, what, 4 weeks?
Yeah, they placed him on IR. So it's an automatic 4 weeks, I think the rule is, right? If I'm not mistaken, you're automatically out for 4 weeks. I think he can come back to, at least maybe at the end of... it says here, unfortunately, the timeline is about, actually, it's way longer than that. Wow. So multiple reports are suggesting that the recovery timeline is about 3 months for him.
Oh, man.
Because he's going to be going into surgery.
Ooh.
For his toe.
That,
so it's going to be a long, I think it's end of the season type thing.
Okay, that changes a lot for Ja'Marr Chase owners around the league.
And by the way, he's still Ja'Marr Chase. He will get you great points. Okay, but maybe Jake Browning will fucking come out and, you know, ball out. But, Jake Browning's been in the league for a while, a long time. So, he's not going to sit here. I don't think he's going to have this magical run. However, he's still chasing. He's still fucking Ja'Marr Chase. So, Ja'Marr Chase will get you points. He's still your number one guy. You're not benching him. So... you take what you can get. You know what I mean? I'll tell you what, there are probably people in this league who will look, you'll sit there and if you have Ja'Marr Chase, are you trading him?
No. I would. But are you going to find somebody to trade him where you get something of equal value back? Because, as you said, Ja'Marr Chase is going to get you at least 13, 15 points every week regardless. Now, that's not the 30-plus points that you're expecting, you know, on his best day. But
that's a big thing, but you're going into the season as a Ja'Marr Chase who got him. And you're going to sit there saying, yo, there's no reason why he can't get you games like he got you last week, or the week two right now. And that's what you're kind of hoping sporadically throughout the year, which will get you those wins that you saw, you know what I mean, this week. Like that, you're going into that.
I think next week, if he gives you more than 19, I think you trade him. As somebody who does have him in one of my other leagues, in my personal league with my family, if he gives you more than 19 points, you got to try to get him off, unload him. And if you don't, the first 5-point game that he has, I think you're gonna have some trouble getting him off your roster. And if you don't, I hope you have a backup wide receiver that is gonna come in and put up at least 17 points, like a Deebo Samuel or something of that ilk.
I'll tell you this right now: if you're the owner of T. Higgins, you're loving this because now, you know, who knows who Jake Browning. Who will have that rapport with Jake Brown? You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It's done now. It doesn't even have to be Ja'Marr Chase because it's a whole new quarterback. So T. Higgins might be in the chase. This might be great for Chase Brown for sure because they're definitely going to be trying to run the ball a lot with him. So we all know that new quarterbacks going into the system, following up a star quarterback. What do they like to do? They like to dump it off. So I mean. To me, I don't see anything but a negative for Ja'Marr Chase. Again, you don't bench him. You don't bench Ja'Marr Chase. But I don't see anything but a freaking battle after this week. We'll see, man. We'll see. Maybe you will. I don't know. We could be completely wrong, but I don't know.
We'll see what happens. Matchup number six, guys. We got Lights, Camera, Jackson coming away with the second highest scoring performance on the week with 155.4 points. Also moving up to 2-0. Mr. Tony Romo taking down Michael's magnificent team. Michael Fee, 155.4 to 84.4. Top performances for Lights, Camera, Jackson. Of course, the title, the name of his team, Lamar Jackson with 26.3, Devin Achane with 26.2, Chuba Hubbard with 18.7, and Jonathan Taylor with a whopping 29.5 in the flex. Top performers for Michael's magnificent team, you had Jahmyr Gibbs with 19.4, and I'm afraid that's all.
Wow. Yeah, this was a landslide victory. I mean, Lamar Jackson showing you that he could sling the ball with the best of them. He could throw the ball with the best of them. Okay? And it's amazing because with this performance and the fact that they can do this just solidifies that the fucking Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens, are Super Bowl contenders. They're Super Bowl contenders. They're looking for that. I think that this year, they're going to get really close, if not make it to the Super Bowl. I personally think that I have the Ravens in my guess as to be in the Super Bowl. I don't know who's going to be with them, but Lamar Jackson, you know, can throw it. Here's a name Jonathan Taylor, who is an amazing, but. When was the last time he gave you these kind of points? Holy shit, we've been waiting for this Jonathan Taylor to sit here and come out and give 165 yards and a receiving touchdown. Oh, it's amazing. You know, he had two receptions for 50 yards for that, which also, resulted in a touchdown, but it just pisses me off as a Giants fan even more. Because under center is fucking Dale Jones. What's with the Giants not getting these guys and going to other places, and then next you know, they're fucking stars? It's the organization. It's gotta be, right?
I was about to say Daniel Jones with a combined collective 588 yards and two touchdowns on the year, currently positioned ranked number two for all quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Indianapolis is fucking 2-0, and the Giants are 0-2, with the same guy we paid a lot of money for under center. So, is it fair to say that a guy like Jonathan Taylor, with Daniel Jones under center, he's only going to benefit? And it just goes to show, 29 points for your flex position is a fucking... You'll take that, and you will be very happy with that. But you also got performances with Keenan Allen back with the Chargers, 61 yards and a touchdown with five catches, man.
Yep.
He's coming out. He's balling out, brother. So, you know, this was a victory, and you have to fucking play your cards, bro. This season is wild. It's wild, bro. I don't understand what's happening. I don't get it. I don't know what to do right now. All I know is that I'm excited. People are going to be pissed, and people are going to be happy. And I think it's going to be a very interesting season to see who is where in the standings. And we're going to discuss the power rankings now. But, like, I'm excited, brother. And, ooh-wee, fantasy football is back. Because you got the joy, you got the fucking madness, and I'm here for it.
That roller coaster is 100% back in effect. NFL week number three for the fantasy football season. We got matchups between the Signs and Sports podcast taking on Lights, Camera, Jackson. We got Run CMC taking on the chosen one, Terrence Pryor. We got Florida Man GP taking on Bo Nick Sucks. We got Who Wants to Smoke taking on Prison Mike Squad. You know, you got yourself your hands full right there, taking on the reigning defending champion of the league. I think he's coming to prove to you that he is indeed using performance enhancing drugs on and he's gonna make it very known with a little 140 plus point performance this week.
let me tell you something, Mean D. Let me tell you what's going on right now, brother. This right here is a statement. This right here is the class of the Titan. 2-0 with a champ. There's only one champion here, and that's me. Me. I'm going to win this title, and I'm going to win to here. And I know, by the way, his belt and his championship with this matchup is not on the line, because that happens sometimes. But let me tell you something. When I win this week, and I come back, and I come with the vengeance, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to look at Dylan Turpin, I'm going to say, not today, brother. Not today. And there's only one man who will become victorious in this. And that is Prison Mike Squad.
Boy, I love it every time. Every time. It gets me going. It's captivating, to say the least. But boy, what a measuring stick this game will be for your team when it comes to how good your lineup can potentially be, when it comes to a matchup with a team who is scoring so proficiently and a team that is 2-0. You know, this could go really good for your lineup, or it could go very bad. I'm hoping for the best. I'm wishing the best for your lineup. But this one can absolutely go one of two ways. Of course, we have G Unit, formerly the Gus Empire, taking on Michael's Magnificent Team, and then we have Justin Scary Team taking on the main character Jamal Gray, with the final matchup of week number 3. We got top performers for the Signs and Sports podcast expected and projected to be Justin Herbert and Derrick Henry. Top performers expected and projected to be Lamar Jackson and Devon Achane. We got top performers expected to be Jared Goff and Christian McCaffrey for Run CMC. Kyler Murray and DeAndre Swift for the chosen one, Terrence Pryor. Top performers expected and projected for Florida Man, Daniel Jones and Ashton Jeanty. Bo Nix Sucks has top performers expected to be Bo Nix and Saquon Barkley. Top performers for the Who Wants to Smoke Prison Mike Squad matchup, we got Pat Mahomes and Alvin Kamara for Who Wants to Smoke. And we got Josh Allen and Bijan Robinson for Prison Mike Squad, which, by the way, Josh Allen and Bijan Robinson, I said it last week on the podcast, the absolute two best players in fantasy football right now. And I would feel very confident going into any week, any matchup against anybody with Josh Allen and Bijan Robinson. So despite the loss, I can imagine that you're feeling at least a little comfortable going into your matchup in week number 3 with those two guys.
I feel good. And I'll tell you what, man. Honestly, I'm not even regretting this either. I'm feeling good about Tannerola McMillan, who's stepping into this role, and I think he's going to sit here and break out in the next few games, man. And going up against Atlanta, you know, that's going to be a great game, and we'll see, man. Listen, I'm excited. If I can sit here and stick with the champ and somehow pull a victory, week 3, I'm gonna look forward to that podcast and listen to you announce my name in victory, brother.
I pulled it up here, the matchup. I didn't know this, but it shows you who has the advantage per position in the matchup. It looks like you have the advantage at quarterback, at both running back spots. He has both wide receiver spot advantages. You have the tight end spot advantage. He has the flex position advantage. You have the defensive advantage, and he has the kicker advantage. So an absolute tight race. This one's going to be the win probability 50-50 going into week number 3 between the two of you.
It's going to be freaking, it's going to be a slobber knocker, as Jim Ross says, brother. It's going to be a slobber knocker. And, yeah, it's crazy. It is 50-50, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Top performers, guys, for matchup number 5, G-Unit and Michael's Magnificent Team. We got top performers expected and projected to be Jaden Daniels and James Conner for G-Unit, and Jalen Hurts and Jahmyr Gibbs for Michael's Magnificent Team. And then we have top performers expected and projected to be Baker Mayfield and Josh Jacobs for Justin's Scary Team, and the main character, Jamal Gray, Dak Prescott, and Chase Brown. Before we move into the standings and move off of the matchups for week number three, Baker Mayfield, I am hearing a lot of from Baker Mayfield out of the Baker Mayfield topic coming out of the last 2 weeks, holding him to some high esteem. I haven't necessarily checked the numbers to be exact, but you know, way too early favorite or candidate to be in that MVP race at the end of the year.
Okay, don't get me wrong. Listen, Baker Mayfield, this resurgence with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers has been amazing. I will give him the benefit of the doubt because he's balling out, man. Okay, he's a starter for your team. Okay, I don't know where he is in the rankings as far as
number seven. Right? Yeah, number seven, yeah. Averaging 21.2 a game in the first 2 weeks.
That's big. NFL wise, listen, he's up there. Let's see. I'll put it like this. I would if you tell me right now if he's in the mix for it, I'd probably say no. Would I be surprised at the end of it if he's in mid season and he's in the talk still legit in his camp for being an MVP with the way he's playing? No, I wouldn't be surprised either. Let's see what happens. I think we should temper our expectations because, I mean, look, brother. No, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, those are still names he's got to compete with. And those are very two fucking big names to compete with. So, we'll see. He is playing great. If you have Baker Mayfield, you are doing just fine. And you're okay with your quarterback. You don't need to do anything.
You know, I saw a graphic on X recently earlier today where they compared the numbers of Pat Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Baker Mayfield, nonetheless, you know, from the beginning of their career to now. Surprisingly, Baker Mayfield is, you know, he's up there, if not better than, you know, almost every one of those names outside of maybe Lamar Jackson when it comes to numbers and specifically numbers. Is Baker Mayfield elite?
In fantasy football, yes, you would have to say that, of course. Yep. So, if you have Baker Mayfield, okay, and especially where you got him, if we're talking fantasy football, and where he's playing right now, yeah, he's elite, of course. Yep, I can see him being top three. Yeah, and that's where I put my metrics as far as being elite. Top five, fine. Top three guys, I think, are the cream of the cream. Like, those guys are amazing. You could put Baker Mayfield. Put it like this: put me in the sentence with Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. Yeah, that would make sense to me. Yeah, I think he is elite. What do you think?
Oh, I'm a big Baker Mayfield guy. Baker Mayfield, I've loved him since college. Since, you know, that run with OU. That Heisman Trophy year, I'm a huge Baker Mayfield guy. When I saw him go number one over Saquon Barkley with the, you know, in that 2016 draft, you know, I was ecstatic about it. I'm a huge Baker Mayfield guy, you know, and also on top of that, I'm an optimist. So, you know, when I see those numbers, I want to pull the trigger and say he's elite. But then again, you know, it is early in the season. And, you know, sometimes I have to bring my own expectations down from 100 to, you know, 25%, because we are barely in week number two going into week number three. So that being said, whoever has Baker Mayfield at this point, you know, you got to be happy with what you're getting from him at this current moment. So moving into the standings, Mike, we got the zone three standings, and then of course we got zone D. I'll go ahead and go through zone D, and you can go ahead and take over zone three, which is your division. In zone D, we got Lights Camera Jackson standing alone in first place at 2-0. We got a four-way tie for second place between the main character Jamal Gray, Justin Scary Team, the Signs and Sports Podcast, and of course Michael's Magnificent Team, all 1-1. And standing alone in sixth place, we got, you know, unfortunately there's got to be somebody, but G-Unit, formerly the Gus Empire. That is how the standings in Zone D are currently shaping out. But we got Lights, Camera, Jackson at number one, a four-way tie between the main character, Justin Scary Team, the Signs and Sports Podcast, and Michael's Magnificent Team, and then G-Unit at number six currently. So let us know what Zone 3 is currently looking like, Mike.
Well, Zone 3 is actually a little more competitive. Let's see here. We got 2 months of Smoke, the champ, sitting at number one, 2-0, and right underneath them, Terrence Pryor with the Chosen One, sit also sitting at 2-0. And who's under there? Little old me. That's 1-1. I'm tied up with McMahon at Run CMC, who's also at 1-1. Florida Man is unfortunately at the underneath that with 0-2. And damn, it's got to be the one, Kevin Kloss. Bo Nix sucks. Is sitting at the bottom of the standings, also 0-2.
Absolutely unfortunate for Kevin Kloss. He came came into season four with high hopes, you know, with a lot of energy, ready to go. And I can't imagine he's happy about how, you know, season four is going 2 weeks in. But then again, as we talked about, it is early, way too early to call it quits at this point. And you know, a lot of teams will, I've personally seen a lot of teams go 0-4 to start the season and, you know, make runs, you know, towards the end of the year, get into the playoffs and you know, do their own thing. But a very difficult start to the season for Kevin Kloss, for Florida Man and for G-Unit as well. But as we said, it does not end here. We got a long season. We got 10 weeks before, you know, we start talking about the playoff bracket. We got 8 weeks before we start talking about the playoff bracket, how it's shaping out, and we got 12 weeks before the actual playoffs. So a long way to go, a lot to do, and a lot of changes are most likely going to be made for each of these teams, outside of maybe, you know, Lights, Camera, Jackson and Who Wants to Smoke and the Chosen One, Terrence Pryor. But you know, a lot of work to be done, a lot of people in the middle of the pack. And, you know, we got people that are sitting firmly and comfortably at the top of their division. So a lot to happen. We'll see where it goes, and we'll see what ends up happening. Moving on to the power rankings, the final segment of the show, we got fantasy trends. We got trending up. Who Wants to Smoke trending up 4 spots. Who Wants to Smoke is trending up 4 from number 6 to number 2. Run CMC trending up 3 spots from number 9 to number 6. And of course, the Signs and Sports Podcast trending up 3 from 12 to number 9. Absolutely disrespectful every single year for the fantasy football app to constantly and consistently put me at number 12. But as I've said on every single show, win or lose, you know, at the end of the year, I love to see that little green line go from number 12 to top 4 at the very least. So, trending down, we have Prison Mike Squad from number 1 to number 7. You were projected number 1 in the power rankings on draft day, after draft day.
Listen, it's a hard fall, but honestly, I'm not down. I'm gonna get back up there, brother. That's tough. Although, listen, there's other one. Listen, Justin Scary Team is down 3 spots.
Justin Scary Team as well.
Yeah, he was fifth on Protective.
Fifth, so, dropping down to number 9. And then, of course, we have G-Unit dropping 2 spots as well from number 8 to number 10. So, as we said, man, a lot can still happen. A lot of football to be played. A lot of fantasy football to be had. You know, the teams that are down are certainly not out. The teams that are up are certainly not, you know, have certainly not clinched any playoff spots by any means, and certainly not have made the championship. So, a lot of football to be played.
You know what I mean, brother? Hey, Kevin Claus, keep your chin up, brother.
Yeah, we love you, Kevin.
Anybody listen to it, that's what you know, brother. You're okay. You're gonna be okay. And listen, you have you have first priorities in the way of it, man. Make it count. You got this.
Make it count. So the way the power rankings are currently sitting, we got Prison Mike Squad Draft Day expected and projected at number 1, currently sitting at number 7. We got Michael's Magnificent Team expected or projected at number 2, currently sitting at number 4. We got Lights Camera Jackson Draft Day expected and projected at number 3, currently sitting at number 1. We got the chosen one, Terrence Pryor, on draft day being ranked at number 4, currently sitting at number 3. Justin Scary Team on draft day projected at number 5, currently sitting at number 8. We got Who Wants to Smoke on draft day expected at number 6, currently sitting at number 2. We got the main character, Jamal Gray, on draft day expected and projected at number 7, currently sitting at number 5. We got G-Unit after draft day sitting at number 8, currently sitting at number 10. Run CMC expected and projected after draft day at number 9, currently sitting at 6. Bo Nix Sucks after draft day expected, projected number 10, currently sitting at 11. Florida Man GP on draft day expected, projected number 11, currently sitting at 12. And then, of course, the 3DFFL expected, projected after draft day at number 12, currently sitting at number 9. So that's where we are. That's what the league looks like today. And, you know, tomorrow we got more football. Tomorrow we got more football. We got more games to be played. We got another slate of matchups to be had. And, you know, a lot's going to change. A lot's gonna change. There's gonna be people from 2-1 falling to 2 from at 2-0 falling to 2-1, 2-0 jumping to 3-0, 1-1 jumping to 2-1, 1-1 falling to 1-2, and of course people 0-2 who are gonna be jumping to 1-2 or falling to 0-3. So it's gonna be a fun weekend, Mike.
We'll see what happens, Joe. I'll tell you what, this week, it may not seem like it, because you're right, right now it's like that, but this week, it's going to show a lot. So I can't wait for the next episode to come out. I'm going to listen intently. I'm going to follow the rankings. We'll see, man. This is going to fucking put a picture's going to start showing up in this league after this week, and we'll see what the picture's starting to look like.
100%. Thank you for jumping on the show with us, Mike. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. As always, it's always a pleasure to have you on. It's always a joy to talk about fantasy football. With a lot of things happening in the world, with so much happening daily, every single day. You know, as I told you guys last week, this is a space for us to get away from reality for a few, you know, for a few days, for a couple hours when we jump on the podcast. I appreciate you guys. I 100% enjoy the community that we're in. I love, you know, being able to jump on the podcast and just for an hour and a half at a time, you know, talk about fantasy football and not think about anything else. So, Mike, we appreciate you getting on. And if you have anything else to say before we hop off, the floor is yours.
Brother, it's always a pleasure being on here with you, man. And, you know, it's been fun. You know, I love everybody in the league, man. And it's really cool to find a group of people that you can sit here and shoot the shit with on a podcast for an hour or so. And you know, it feels like, you know, back then when you used to chill with your boys in school and at the lunch table, shooting the shit and talking about our favorite things. And, you know, your first episode, I think, was enlightening, illuminating, and just shows that there are good people in this world, man. And, you know, with what's going on in this world today, with, you know, what happened with Charlie Kirk, not, you know, not to bring it down, but just a quick thing, I will say this better, that I always said to myself that whatever I have a platform or whatever platform, whoever I'm on, whoever I'm talking to, I will do my best, just as I did as a kid, to be make a dumbass of myself trying to make other people laugh. I've always had a knack for sitting here in serious situations to be that guy who will always try to make people smile or laugh or, you know, just feel good for a few seconds, man. I've always prided myself in that. And you know, if especially after last week, man, if I can come on here, chill with you, make you laugh a few times, brother, I did my job. And, you know, I'm grateful to God for that. And, you know, rest in peace, Charlie Kirk and his family. I'm praying for you. Erica Kirk, his wife, I'm praying for her. And the world is going through things, but I think most of all, I think it's healing. The light is always, you know, I'll tell you what, the night is always darkness before the dawn, brother. And the dawn is coming, and I feel, I'm so happy to be with you. And I'm looking forward to this season. I'm looking forward to hopefully being back on here. And brother, it's football time. Let's do this.
Mike, you're an absolute gem. Of a friend, of a follower, of a community member. You know, we couldn't have asked for you know, a better community member, you know, than somebody like you, somebody like Kevin, somebody like Dylan, somebody like, you know, Gus, Terrence, Jamal, everybody that plays with us. You know, I know between myself and the 3DFFL team members, you know, the group members, the team, we constantly talk about how much fun it is, you know, how we can feel and see the community being built right in front of our eyes. You know, I appreciate you. I appreciate your words, everybody. Thank you for jumping on to the podcast for week number 3. Rest in peace to Charlie Kirk. Prayers to the Kirk family. And as Mike said, the world is healing. Guys, we'll catch you on the next one.
The realest underground entertainment, T-R-U-E, hashtag that, true. The realest underground entertainment, your source for local music, your source for local marketing, hype, branding, exclusive experience. What do you need? What do you got? How can we help you? How can you help us? How can we help you? T-R-U-E, the realest underground entertainment, Rilo, Tone G, Merculation, D-I-G, J-B, Chach with the heat. Shout out to Villain Vision Music, A2J, Villain Vision Music, A2J, Villain Vision Music, A2J. Check out the Realest Underground Entertainment at True Records on YouTube, at the Realest Underground Entertainment on Facebook, and at Day One Vibes, the home of the Realest Underground Entertainment. Get at your boys.